Into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your host, Corey Kinnon, and joining me stateside, not in Portugal, but in Pennsylvania, Dalton Miller. So we're recording at 8 o'clock at night instead of in the day.
Yeah, we're recording at 8 o'clock at night instead of during the day. And I've been up since the equivalent of about 11 p.m. last night, East Coast time. I did nap on the plane for about an hour. So there was a little bit of sleeping. But other than that, no sleep. I've been up for almost 20 hours at this point. So let's get into today's topic. Let's get through this. And we will be back at full strength tomorrow to talk about this weekend slate of games.
All right. So this episode, this is usually an episode where we'll do build a prospect. We've talked about doing, talking about sleepers or building our board on the Thursday episodes as well. Today, ESPN's Jordan Reed, who's a colleague of ours, dropped a mock draft on ESPN. So we thought, let's comb through it. Let's talk about some of these picks, some of these fits, what stands out. Not everyone, but let's go through it and let's pull up some things that we think are really, really interesting about this mock draft and react to it. So without further ado, let's do that. So starting with pick number one, I cover the Browns for BrownsWire. I'm the managing editor of BrownsWire. I understand the situation that they're in right now. Mm-hmm. I understand that they have shit QB play, I guess. Let's call it what it is. He's very bad. He's making a lot of money and he's very bad. The way out of that is to have a quarterback on a rookie contract where you can effectively have operate on a 52-man roster until he's cuttable, which would be after the 2025 season, until the Nasty Man is cuttable after the 2025 season. Add a third quarterback to the practice squad and effectively do it that way. Operate on a 52-man roster. I even think you could bring back Jameis Winston and bridge, and if you don't want to start your rookie quarterback right away. But we've been pretty vocal on this podcast that Shedeur Sanders is that quarterback that is going to go top five, that we have the most confidence in is the best top five quarterback in the class, like the only top five quarterback in the class. And so I love the pick. I did a mock draft today too, where the Browns were picking second. They're flipped here in this one, but I had the Browns picking second, and I also had them taking Shedeur Sanders. Again, I think he's an ideal fit with Kevin Stefanski as well and his offense. Kevin Stefanski has desperately wanted a quarterback who could be on time in structure and just find a backside over every once in a while. There are so many, this goes back to Baker Mayfield as well. So many backside overs where bad sacks are being taken because eyes aren't getting to it. So often since 2021, it's been a thing. So Shedeur Sanders does that at a very high level. He's very accurate, precise, on point. And he's getting better in structure. And I tend to think if you give him an NFL offensive line, he'll take significantly less sacks as well. So I like the pick right there at number one.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about it. It needs to happen. When we talk about needing quarterbacks, Cleveland is at the very top of the list right now, which is unfortunate because of the contractual situation. But it is what it is. We have to call a spade a spade. He's terrible right now. Just is the reality.
Yeah, there's also the conversation about if his father would allow for him to play in a situation such as Cleveland, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
Yes, it is.
Interesting at number two. I guess maybe it's not interesting because the offensive tackle classes, as we've talked about it, it's not great, but the Patriots picking at number two desperately need a left tackle. Their offensive line has been shuffled around all season, but they also need a wide receiver really bad and a running mate for Christian Gonzalez pretty bad.
It's too early for an offensive tackle, in my opinion.
I mean, I would agree with that too, depending on how desperate and how a certain offensive tackle plays the rest of the season slash goes into Indianapolis. I did a mock draft today, again, where the Patriots were picking one, and I just did it. I mocked Cam Williams to the Patriots first overall. I think he's the only one with the traits.
And then you're going to have him flip too.
And you're going to have him flip. Like, that's another thing too that we have to talk about. But I mean, Travis Hunt, it's a lot. It is a lot. But this draft class, again, trying to find 32 players is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I get to pick at Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft for my money right now. So going number two overall certainly fits. Certainly fits. All right, Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, with pick number three with Abdul Carter, I mean, I'm just so far on the Nick Scorton train that's mm-hmm. where I would go personally with it. But
yeah,
the Raiders with Cam Ward. Listen, I'm not as high on Cam Ward. You're not as high on mm-hmm. Cam Ward either. But you need something in Las mm-hmm. Vegas, and he is definitely, if not one thing, he is completely different from an archetype yeah. standpoint than anything that we've seen in Las Vegas for quite some time now. When you look at the quarterbacks who have stepped foot on that field since they got into the new stadium, I don't think any of them could run for a third and seven and pick up a first down. And Cam Ward, if anything else, will be able to do that at a high level. So mm-hmm. I think go with the upside with Cam Ward. I think he probably has the highest upside of anybody in this class. And I know that there are people that look at that differently. But that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I mocked Milrow to them 10th overall in my mock draft. I didn't do any trades, but yeah. I'm interested in multiple edge rushers being off the board this mm-hmm. early, because we talked about how this edge class hasn't really been what we thought it would be, but those guys are starting to come along. Like,
yeah,
Abdul Carter's starting to play well. James Pierce is starting to play well now that they're an SEC play. So we've seen both those guys off the board already in the top five. James Pierce to the Titans. I had Will Johnson to the Rams at 6-2. I think that pick makes way too much sense. The Rams sneaky have needs at pretty much every premium position. That's a rough situation there. Mason Graham to the Bengals is such a fun one. I have that one too in my mock draft.
Just perfect. It's perfect.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. Nick Scorton, a third edge rusher off the board to the Jets, 10th overall after the failed Hassan Reddick trade, where they're going to trade him before he even plays a snap for them. I get the desperation of the Giants taking a quarterback, Carson Beck at 10.
Carson Beck. Going from Daniel Jones to Carson Beck is just so gross.
It is. And I will give Carson Beck credit. He was slinging that thing against Mississippi State. I charted that game today. And again, Mississippi State's awful, and he had mm-hmm. all day in the pocket. And I also think he might be playing with the worst skill positions we've seen at Georgia in a very long time.
Yes, I agree.
Like, they're awful. Like, they were dropping deep bombs down the field and stuff like that. I need to see him in a high leverage game again before I can tell myself that his floor isn't significantly lower than we thought it was. Banks to the Dolphins makes a lot of sense. I had that fit as love well. That pick. I do too. Interesting enough is we don't get a wide receiver off the board till 12th overall, and it's Tet McMillan to the Saints.
I think it's a really good, if we're talking about just different body types, different types of players, to pair him with Olave and Shaheed is an interesting move because he brings something completely different from those two. So still a little bit weird, because you would think also having a guy like Luther Burden, who is amazing after the catch, like somebody you can kind of scheme touches to, would be a nice pick there too. But McMillan does bring kind of that possession wide receiver type to the Saints, where I don't really know if Olave or Shaheed are those guys. Somebody who, I mean, is going to be a target hog the way that McMillan has been for Arizona.
Yeah. I like Tet McMillan, but we've talked on the podcast quite a bit about, if you don't have over-the-top explosiveness, then you need some play strength, and we're not sure he has either.
Mm-hmm.
I like this place on the board for him to come off more than in the top five or top 10 that we see pretty frequently. I don't know if I love him coming off the board before Luther Burden, who goes 16 to the Broncos. Again, I think Luther Burden's still a top 10 pick. I don't know if he's done anything to tell me he's not, especially to a team that probably needs a quarterback but isn't in the position to reach on one. I think the Tennessee Titans are a team like that. You know, they're sitting in the top 10. Sitting sixth right now. I mean, if you can't go get your quarterback and you can bridge with Mason Rudolph, you need to give him a receiver that you can manufacture a ton of touches to.
Yeah.
To like at least have somebody to run an offense through. And so I think Burden makes a ton of sense for a team like that. I guess Denver's kind of the same way. I mean, if you want to look at it like that, like if you want to help Bo Nix out, just like let him spam stick and screens like he did at Oregon, and you can do that with Luther Burden, I guess.
I agree.
Let's go back up to 15, Dalton. That's your team. Dallas Cowboys. players in the draft.
Yeah, and you know, I talked about it on Twitter earlier, or X, or whatever you want to call it, but I'm just not having the argument about positional value anymore. Until it happens, like, I'm just not having these hypothetical arguments when it comes to positional value. They need a running back. We all know that they need a running back. He is maybe not the best running back prospect we've seen in a long time, but he is having a historic college football season. And I like JT. I think that he's very good overall. He's a muscle hamster. He's the type of back that I absolutely adore. He's not a generational prospect, in my opinion. He doesn't have that overwhelming athletic ability that really separates the really good prospects from the unbelievable ones. Like, I don't think he's not the type of prospect Saquon was. I don't think he's the type of prospect that Chubb was. And Chubb was obviously coming off of an ACL tear or had the injury history. I don't think he's as good as Bijan. And so we're looking at all these backs who I think were better prospects. And then you're going to throw JT in a run game right now because of Mike McCarthy still being the head coach that is devoid of any substance whatsoever. It's a terrible run game. And a lot of that is schematic. And JT's not going to be able to break seven tackles on a single play at the NFL level consistently, because they're going to be NFL level athletes, not Mountain West Conference athletes. And that's nothing against the Mountain West. It's just the jump between college and the NFL. These backs who average 7 yards a game could very well average 2.5 to 3 at the next level if they're in a bad situation. And the Cowboys, for a rushing attack right now, are in a bad spot.
Yeah. That could honestly be a fun exercise for us down the road of trying to place Ashton Jeanty among other top 50 running backs.
Yeah.
On since 2018, 2017.
I agree.
I think that'd be a fun exercise. I want to stop at pick 17 here because I want to talk about Jalen Walker. I love Jalen Walker.
Before Scorton. Why are we so low on
board, Scorton came up off the board 9th overall.
To the okay. Oh, but that's right. We talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, I saw a tweet about Michigan's Josiah Stewart too. And I think these are kind of similar players. I like both players. Both players are very fun. I do not see how a sawed off tweener is getting drafted in the top 50, maybe even the top 64. So to put him at 17 feels very high to me right here.
Because even at the, like at the top of what you get from them from a production standpoint, like Josh Uche, like that, yeah, that is like the pinnacle of that position, right? Like, mm-hmm, what guy at that size, at that level, or that type of player is playing every down, is worth, mm-hmm, you know, $20-25 million a year? I don't see that player existing, right?
No, I would say the closest thing we probably have to that in the NFL is Frankie Louvill. But he's even 6'3".
More of a linebacker. He's more of a traditional linebacker.
And Walker does play a lot stacked, but we're essentially talking about a guy who's going to have to play Sam linebacker on base downs. And like, Sam linebackers play 17 snaps a game on average. Yeah. Like, no team sits in base. It just feels like, I think he's a fun, fine player. And I'd be so cool taking him around the 100, like fringe top 100. Mm-hmm. This feels very high for a tweener. Like, and I think that's just is what it is. He's a really fun player, but, and just the way he consistently wins, I don't see a clean enough refined player either as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I think he's hella explosive. Mm-hmm. But that's very early for me.
I want to point out, just, we don't need to talk about the pick very much, but Savai and I to the Bears.
I mocked that one too. Oh, it's so good.
It feels so perfect for what we've seen them do at the offensive line position over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
I mocked Shamar Stewart in the first round too, and that might be a surprise to some because he has one sack this season. He's 6'6" and 290 pounds, and I mean, he's as athletic as Nick Scorton.
He's not as good, but
he's going to go to Indianapolis, and yes, he's going to go to Indianapolis and he's going to leave a first round pick. And again, 290 pounds, you can kick him into three tech. And
Dio, just look at Dio. Like,
yeah.
And obviously he tore up. Was it his Achilles?
Dio? Yeah, it was. Yeah. Right before so the like,
that's
role.
Tough because he was a freak athlete too. Before that weight, I'm sure, snapped a little bit of what he might have potentially been at the NFL mm-hmm. level. But that's kind of what Stewart can be at the next level.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about a draft class where it's really, really hard to find 32 players to put in the first round.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably difficult. So, we're going to see a lot of shots on upside this year. Speaking of, number 20th overall to the Seattle Seahawks. Again, mm-hmm. I mocked him first overall. The New England Patriots, I think that's how desperately they need to protect Drake May. I think that's how desperately, like, where they sit offensively. Again, they need wide receivers too. But I think you're going to see a player like Cam Williams by the time he goes to Indianapolis. Another guy who's probably going to, I think, a consensus top 15, maybe top 10 pick. A half year starter so far, and what he's doing is tremendous. Big test this weekend against Georgia. If he plays well against Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, all those dudes against Georgia, yeah, I'm 100% in. I'm all in. This is my OT1, without a doubt. Yep. Here he goes 20th to the Seahawks, which I think is a pretty good fit. Opposite of Charles Cross would give the Seahawks two really stout pass blockers. That's amazing. 21, Deion Walker is another defensive tackle off the board. We both have kind of talked about our reservations about Deion Walker and his slight lower half and pad level and how that'll translate to the NFL. Again, he's going to go first round this year, just again, trying to find names.
Yeah.
22, Benjamin Morrison, man. Benjamin Morrison's now out for the season. With a hip injury, with already a slight frame. I don't know if this guy's going to go first round. This guy might go second round based on kind of some intel that I've heard, how NFL teams actually like him. Now the injury, that's a hip injury that's going to require surgery. This might be a player who is a surprise faller to people who like follow grinding the mocks or like where consensus players are being mocked at.
Yeah.
This could be a player to watch out for. I'm not going to like slander the young man or anything like that, because I think he's a good player. The NFL just has different standards that we don't always pick up on. And especially certain types of injuries, hold more weight. But he goes 22nd to the Commanders, who desperately need a cornerback.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'll mock anything other than a corner to Washington in the first round from here until the draft. Again, I don't love the defensive tackles coming off the board. Kenneth Grant to the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Tack to the Packers is really fun. That's a really fun fit too. Opposite of Jaire Alexander, who hasn't always been the healthiest, but Eric Stokes hasn't been very good. I do like that fit of Takario Davis to the Packers. Isaiah Bond, 25th overall. I think the team fit is awesome. I think Isaiah Bond's going way before this.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's going way before 25th.
Yeah. And especially in this class, just like overall, I think he's probably one of the most talented players in this class. And then you look at, he's also one of the more talented players in this class at a premium position. And he has elite speed and agility.
Yes. Yeah. He can run every single route and then win on the vertical plane. I actually mocked Tim Dalton to 16th overall to your Dallas Cowboys in my mock draft.
I think it would be a really, really good fit with CeeDee Lamb.
I agree, because he can win at X. Let CeeDee keep doing his thing in the slot.
Oh, the Atlanta Falcons making a great pick here.
I also did this for the Falcons in my mock draft.
Yeah, so the Falcons, honestly, just more than anything, they need a pass rush because they have absolutely nothing right now. I think they have, what, like 5 sacks so far this year? Yeah. So really tough scenes. Landon Jackson, let's go for it.
Yep, we've seen a lot of edge rushers come off the board in this mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Ariante Ursary, I think, is fine. A lot of people think Ursary is a guard, as everybody does a lot of these tackles. I would say if you're Baltimore and you want a guard, why not just take Tyler Booker right here? Ursary. I mean, Ursary is a fine player, but I think Booker's a better player. If you turn on Booker's 2023 tape to his 2024 tape, you can see a huge difference in how, like, chiseled his body is. Like you can tell he put a lot of effort into his body this offseason. And his tape is a lot better. I wasn't a huge fan of Tyler Buchner's tape heading into the season. And I think it's been significantly better as a pass protector this year. So that would be my qualm with this pick is like, why not just take the natural guard?
Because that's not where he's playing. The first round. He's playing at left tackle.
Right. But Booker's the natural guard. So like, why not take the natural guard?
No, but that he's getting drafted as a tackle here to the Ravens.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So that would assume that Ronnie Stanley is probably.
Yeah. They're both in the final year of their deals. And Ronnie Stanley has
been hurt injury. A lot. Yeah.
Just the life of a tackle, really.
Colson Loveland to the Buccaneers. I mean, they need an F tight end very bad. Mm-hmm. Is 28th overall too high for an F tight end? When you could get a guy like Jalen Borg around top 100 or Fannin in the second or third round.
I mean, if you're looking at it that way, yes. But, I mean, they could kind of use a big edge, but the big edge is, I mean, they could use like a 5-tech. But
they need a corner bad too.
They do need a corner, but the corners, I mean, they could go Siobhan Revel here.
Yeah, Revel's not off the board yet.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't hate the pick, but I don't necessarily love it either.
Yeah. I probably mock them Revel here. I did mock them Revel picking at in the top 20. Based on what I've gathered from scouts is nobody's worried. No, I mocked Revels at the Colts at 19. Basically, everything I've heard about Revel is that nobody's scared by a September ACL tear. I'm pretty sure the kid's going to go first round still. These next few picks, again, trying to find players to fit in the top.
I haven't watched Nolan, so I'm out.
He's streaky.
But Sawyer, I just simply cannot get behind this pick whatsoever.
No. Again, he's a pure power rusher. And again, I think you're going to have to find ways to win along the outside shoulder at the NFL level. And I don't know if he has that in his skill set.
I don't think he has the power to win at the NFL level with power.
Yeah. Two of the more disappointing players in this draft cycle have been those Ohio State edge rushers, for sure. Based on how much hype, both 5-stars coming into their recruitment. Pretty disappointing output on the field. Again, they were invisible. Both JTT and Jack Sawyer were invisible against Oregon, who we both think their offensive tackles. Connerly, not so much. Connerly's he's getting back in the good graces, but Cornelius isn't.
Cornelius played really well in that game, though.
He did. He did, but again, he's a day three guard, day three swing player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they just had no impact in that football game.
Yep.
No impact in the football game. All right. 31's a pretty freaking fun fit. Let's assume that Travis Kelce is at the end of his career and he's playing like it. He's picked it up the past couple of weeks. And they want a guy who just knows how to hunt out green grass intuitively and get open for Patrick Mahomes. And that is not a tight end, but a wide receiver. I don't think there's a better player than this guy right here.
No.
To do that.
I agree with you. And honestly, I kind of like the backfield stuff that they're doing with him at Ohio State too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how often they've pulled that out because I haven't watched a lot of Ohio State offense so far this year, but they pulled that out against Oregon and he looked pretty darn explosive on those runs with the ball in his hands. And we've kind of talked about him and looking a little bit more athletic when he does have the ball in his hands compared to when he is being a route runner, because you look at him as a route runner, I think he's just more paced and tempered. And he kind of uses that to lull guys to sleep and use a little bit of separation quickness, but he doesn't look super explosive, but he looked really good with the ball in his hands the other day. It's just a fantastic fit for somebody who was able to find green grass.
Yeah, I agree. My one worry would be that Rashee Rice's route tree is very within 7 yards in a cloud of dust. Mm-hmm. And this feels like it might be a little bit similar, unless the Chiefs are just all in on building the whole plan out of Yak. Which, based on what their offenses kind of looked like this season, it outside of some savior-worthy deep bombs they've been able to find, might be kind of what they're looking to do.
Yeah.
And then 32 to the Vikings, Derek Harmon, who's a rising defensive tackle in this class, leads the nation in pressures from the interior this season, and he played so well against Ohio State.
Yeah, I still think when I watch, because I've watched a lot of him, like my evaluation of him is practically done at this point. A lot of wins are schemed wins.
Yeah.
He and Jamari Campbell play so well together. They are so good at playing games with one another and picking offensive linemen to open the other guy up for a free run. Like they're so good at doing that. And in 1v1 situations, I think Harmon isn't as strong, but then at the same time, you still see the disruptiveness, not even just as a pass rusher, but as a run defender as well. Now, I don't think that he is a good, consistent run defender, but I think in very much in the way that I kind of talked about it was Malik Collins. Especially like when he was with Dallas, when they were doing a lot of gap defending. They were really attacking and trying to be disruptive in the backfield. And I think that's something that Harmon does very, very well for that Oregon defense. And I think that not just is he pretty explosive off the snap now, he's also late off of the snap quite a bit, which gets him into trouble when he's not able to win. But when he times the snap well, when he gets off, and even in obvious run situations, like in third and fourth and short situations, he comes off with a wide base. He changes his stance up. He shoots low. And you see some of the natural power that he does possess when he is in those situations. So I do start, but I am very much coming around on him as a player overall. And he's not going to get a first-round grade for me. He's not that good of a player. He's not that special of an athlete. But I do think that he's one of those guys who's going to go and be a pretty decent football player at the NFL level for a while.
Yeah. And again, when we're talking about getting first-round grades, we might have 10 of those guys this year.
Yes.
We might have 10 of them.
Yep.
All right. That is Jordan Reed's mock draft. Dalton, what would you say is the pick that you love the most that we've kind of talked about here?
Ooh, pick that I love the most. The Will Johnson pick to LA is just too perfect, in my opinion.
It is.
When it comes to value, you're looking at Cam Williams, and you're looking at Isaiah Bond, in my opinion.
Yeah. This burden to the Broncos is a pretty darn good value.
Yeah,
that's
great value, too. Jeez. Yeah, I agree.
We didn't talk about Malachi Starks to the Colts is a good one there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Again, I don't love how many quarterbacks went in the first round because I don't personally think there are that many first-round quarterbacks in this class, but Skort did the chances. So I think this one right here is my favorite. We're talking about Mason Graham.
No, yeah, it's
because
perfect.
Here's where we sit with the Bengals, and this is going to be the last thing before I can let you go to bed. The Bengals are not a bad football team, and they don't lack premium positions. So even though they're 2-4, and they might pick in the top 10, they might pick in the top 12 this year in a down year because, again, I just don't think Zach Taylor is a very good head coach. They don't need a quarterback. I don't think they have a choice but to pay both of their wide receivers.
Yeah.
They just drafted Amarius Mims. They might have to replace Trey Hendrickson. But again, their defensive line is what they're addressing here, and not edge specifically. They're addressing that here. I think Cam Taylor-Britt has been an awesome corner for them. Like they could do a corner here too, but like if they're going to pay both those wide receivers, that's going to come with concessions on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't think there's a better fit than Mason Graham right here. That's tremendous.
It's a good fit. I like it too. Yep. All right.
That's it. That's the Draft on Draft podcast. We are going to record in person now on time in the same country tomorrow as well on Friday for our Friday episode. So Thursday, and we're gonna chop it up about what's going on in week 8. But for now, that's it for the Draft on Draft podcast. I'm Corey with Dalton. Until next time, see you later.